Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, and glad that you're here, and we're going to be getting into the Word for today and allowing God to do what God does. Amen. Okay. Thank you for being here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. And we're just going to, again, find out what is God saying, what is he wanting to do in our lives. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer. And Father, we just bless you and we praise you. We thank you for another opportunity to come into your presence where there is fullness of joy. Thank you, Father, that because of your word, we can see and experience the grace of God for our lives and in our lives. We thank you, Father God, that you will speak to me so that I can hear. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let glory and grace meet, Father, in this time, in this place, so that you will be glorified by the things that are heard, the things that are spoken, and we'll be able to transform those words into the place of our life where we can execute righteousness in the earth. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory, and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, beloved, today we want to go from the topic that says, you said amen, now what? You know, I know that sounds like one of those hot topics, and people used to tell me that all the time, that I had those topics that would just, you know, they would invite you into whatever God was wanting to do for you today. And so I just want to give you the opportunity to look at it from a different perspective. You know, as Christians, you know, we throw the word around, amen, as if we're asking God to back it up, to prove it, you know. And I just wonder, you know, just like the name of Jesus and the word amen, are we using it as an honor, or are we using it as a stamp of approval? So, you know, we religiously do things. And so, you know, that's something that we got to, I guess, stop doing, because we're supposed to be honoring God in what we say and what we do. And so if as we do that, we just put it at the end of a, as an epitaph, if you would, at the end of the prayer, because we want to sound religious, or we want to have people to think that that we know how to pray, you know. And so I just think that it's time for us to grow up in Him, so that we would be able to allow the grace that's necessary to be seen in this world now, you know, because some of the things that God is asking for or desiring is to have people that know Him, that flow with Him in whatever it is He's doing and wanting to get done. You know, that's probably the better way of saying it, because when we allow God to do what God was interested in all of the time, you know, it gets better and better. A lot of times I've found that people sometimes, when it comes to spiritual things, we make light of it. We'll use the name of Jesus. I know sometimes people have thought that Christ was Jesus' last name. And they just, again, they use it to make sure that their sentence comes to an end. The word amen, it means so be it. It is defined as and verily. You know, if we look at it to try to get God now to move, because we said in Jesus' name, amen. You know, we're not trying to display God as a God of doing. He was already the God of doing. He's the God that said, let there be, and there was. Were you there when the let there be statement was made? So since you weren't there when the let there be statement was made, He doesn't need your assistance for His reputation to be protected, for Him to be known as a great God. In fact, it says in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro over the whole earth to show Himself strong. So then Him being known as a strong God wasn't even on your radar. It was on His. See? So, you know, just because we get connected and we want to let people know that, you know, me and God is connected on a real short string, I declare and decree a thing, and that's what it's going to get. And amen. I appreciate the faith that it takes to execute that. That is a good thing to do and to say. But I'm not trying to prove that God is who He said He was. Here's a couple of things I'd just like for you to think about. If we don't live it, we can't release it. Now, you might want to just kind of like jot that one down. See, out of your heart, the book of Proverbs chapter 4 says it this way. It says, guard your heart diligently, for out of it are the issues of life. See, so if it's not in there, it can't be released. You see what I'm saying? You can't kind of trick God into it or back God into it. He's wanting to display greatness. He's wanting to display the favor and the grace that He's putting on your life. He wants to show that. That's why He made you a witness, so that you can cause people to come out of darkness and into His marvelous light. That you would cause people to know that there is a God that is a present help. See? that as we are in some of the throes of the things that we're in, in the midst of a COVID epidemic, well, people will need to know that God is faithful and a deliverer. That they would need to know that God is on standby with deliverance from whatever they can face. Because the Bible says that he knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits and no restraint. COVID is not something that God can't handle. The children of Israel were walking around in the midst of 10 plagues. And God was showing his power and might and his ability to maintain the people that love him and that he set his love upon. I mean, come on, y'all. We're not talking about stuff that, you know, is invisible. Okay, it has been deemed as the invisible enemy. Okay, no, God showed his power from things that were very, very visible. You know, even before he got to Daniel in the lion's den. See, even before he got to that display, he was showing himself strong in ways that people can get and understand. I'm going to go over to that book in a minute, in the book of Exodus, and look at some things in the book of Exodus. As a matter of fact, you can just turn to chapter 3 in the book of Exodus. See, God wants to show himself to be strong, show himself to be God. And in this situation, it was very interesting here that there were other methods that people were walking in, that they were living in, okay? And it was normal for them to go to plan B and execute plan B. I love God because with God I found out he doesn't have to use plan B. Glory to God. He's going to cause the words that came out of his mouth. What he says in Isaiah chapter 55, he says, my word that comes out of my mouth, it will not return void. Once he says the thing, that's it. And it doesn't matter what has to be shaped, reshaped, stood, re-understood, adjusted. His word that went out of his mouth, it shall accomplish that which he pleases. It shall prosper in the thing. That's the part I'm trying to get us to see. It has to prosper in the thing first. I say it this way. If God can't do anything in you, he can't do anything for you. He can't do anything with you because you haven't given him what he's looking for. He's looking for a heart that is perfect towards him, that is mature towards him. He searches the whole earth looking for that. Ooh, that's good. I want you to catch that again. He said he's looking, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth to find those that have a perfect heart toward him. Okay? He didn't say the eyes of the Lord were looking for a place to that's in trouble. He was not looking for trouble. Did you get that? He was looking, I'm just reading the scripture as it is. He's looking for those that have a perfect heart, a mature heart, not a doubtful heart. See, again, God can't do anything for you if you don't let him do anything in you. If you don't readjust your thinking or do what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you don't bring every thought into captivity until that thought obeys Christ, you limit God. Just so that you can see it, you limit him to what you think. Your deliverance is up to you. Now, God is able, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can dare, ask, or think, according to the power that works in us. So if the power is not working in us, can he do anything? According to that scripture. Okay, just go over there first so that you can see this. We're coming back to Exodus. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. I just, like I say, these are things you have to have these in your heart. You have to be able to reach for those, okay? Because if you don't, if this is not where you stand, then you're not in the place where he can cause the flow of his grace to be seen. He wants to show himself strong, not weak. He wants to show himself strong. But the requirement that he put on this display is that you would have a mature heart towards him, a heart that is going to become fully persuaded that what he promised, he's also able to perform. See, look at what he says right here. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to back up a little bit because I want to kind of, there's some things that's really, really good. Starting at verse 10. Well, I can't. It's almost, I'm almost back up to it. It says, to the intent. Here is the thing. Verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. I want you to know that he says, Paul says, I am what I am by the gift of, Lord, this is just good. According to the gift of the grace. Paul says, the way I live now is I live with the understanding that there is a gift of grace on my life. And that gift of grace that's on my life is what makes the difference. Not how I look and sound to people, but how I utilize the gift. Sometimes there are people that would give us a gift at Christmas, and we have so many gifts that we didn't have time to open this particular gift. So then or we didn't like the gift. We looked at it and said, oh, I got to have the good stuff. This ain't the good stuff. Have you ever done that? Thrown away a gift of Christmas socks because you didn't need no more socks? You wanted an electronic toy and somebody gave you socks and you just discounted that? Well, see, you're going to have to learn to utilize what God has given you. And just so that you know what he's given you, the Bible says, he has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Glory to God. That's 2 Peter chapter 1. See, he's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Since he's given it to you, that qualifies it as a gift, does it not? Amen. So then what the Apostle Paul came to the place where he understood that if I'm going to be what I need to be, then I'm going to have to understand according to I was made. Come on, y'all. Paul said I was made. This wasn't even where I was going, but these things are just so good that we have to understand them. These have to be staples in our life. Paul said I was made a minister according to the gift of grace. Okay, I'm just, here we go. I'm looking at some things here. He didn't even say, I was made a minister according to my desire. Please help me read what was written there. I was made a minister according to the gift of grace. God knew that you were going to need this gift, so he didn't wait for you to be in a straight or a bad place before he gave it to you. He gave you the gift when he left. That's what's called an inheritance. An inheritance is given to the one that is the inheritor when the person that is when the person that has the power or the gift. When he leaves, the inheritance is now made effective. He didn't wait for you to get in the mess before he decided whether or not he was going to give you what you need. The way the scripture says, he hath, past tense, given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. See? So then, him being the God that was already standing, knowing, omnipotent, all-knowing, he knew that you were going to need this gift. And if he can get you to participate in the exchange, you can be made what you were called to be. Boy, this is just good. He called you out of darkness, and he called you to be an agent of light. And if you will participate in the plan of God, you will then be able to operate in the place of your calling. He's provided everything, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And when you agree with him and then participate in that plan, you can then be made into what you were called into what you were prepared for. All right, we'll make it just natural so you can see it. He will make you according to his word. It is God that gives you the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 20. It says, it's God that gives you the power to get wealth so that you can establish his covenant. You can be made a wealthy man so God can establish his covenant in the earth. You were called into this wealth, and God will allow you to find his word and the promises that cause you to be made conformed into what he called you. This calling was from the foundation of the world, beloved. You know, he didn't wait for you to, again, think about these things so that he can do them. He hath, past tense, already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. See? It's just when we decide that we're going to agree with what his word says and the calling that he put out there for me to answer to. Okay, maybe we'll say it that way. See, he wants you to answer to the call. He doesn't want you to answer for the call. See, we put pressure where there's none needed. If someone comes into your house and they are a relative of yours who happens to be able to cook, and not only happens to be able to cook, but happens to be able to prepare your favorite meal in the whole wide world. And they come to your house and they prepare that meal for you. Is there anything that you need to do other than participate by eating? I don't think there's anything that they came to your house to bless you and prepared for you in your house your most favorite meal in the world. All you got to do is sit down and eat. That's what God has already done. He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm so glad he put life first, because my experience that I'm running into every day is going to shape my destiny, isn't it? Because if I'm experiencing pain, I'm going to live the life from that position of pain, aren't I? See? So he's already given you what you need, and he's asking you to have a mature heart in believing that what he's given you is what you need. All things that pertain to life and godliness. So then when he gives you the word, whatever the promise is, sometimes those promises seem too big for us to be able to process. And he knew that. He's asking you to have a mature heart. Going back to Ephesians, where I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. Paul says, I'm going to live my life, function in my life according to the gift of what I did not deserve. I did not earn the gift of grace. Grace has been defined as God's unmerited favor. Okay? So Paul had to come. I mean, when you know something about Paul, Paul was a very religious man. His own testimony said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. That tells you he was a very religious. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a top shelf religious man. And he had to come to the place where he counted all of that understanding as dung. He had to go to the place where he said in 2 Corinthians, bring every thought into captivity until that thought was obedient to what the word Christ said. When you become mature that way, you don't have to bring you don't have to bring your pedigree before the Lord. Amen. He's not interested in your pedigree because he's the one that made you and called you before he made you. From the foundation of the earth, you were called. Okay. From the foundation, not just from the manifestation. Did you get that? From the thought, if you would, of you. He's trying to get you to go to that place, to identify with him in that place, to fellowship with him in that place. And what do we usually do? Try to talk to him about what's manifest, what's going on now. When he's already called you into your victory before you entered into the trial. You remember he said these things? These are things you know. Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's belly, I was already intimate with you. I knew you. Okay? So then if we would go back to that place and identify with God before the trouble, it's easy then to see my victory and pass out of the trouble because God knew the trouble was coming. This is not trouble that caught God off guard, if you would. God is not up in heaven saying, oh me, I don't know what I'm going to do. He is already, there are steps that have been preordained that you should walk in them. Okay? So God has already given you everything that you need that would pertain to life and godliness. Okay? Ephesians chapter 3. I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. I'm glad he put the effectual working in there. That means that this power is working all the time, in every situation when I agree that I am called or made this way. I need for you to remove out of your thinking, out of your heart's position, that the trouble that you're in caught God off guard. I need for you to go to the position of heart that whatever is needed, God hath already given it to me. Just because I don't know I have it does not mean it's not mine. Don't you remember Jesus told us that the thief only comes, John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There is no other reason that the enemy is there except he is stealing, killing, or destroying. Let me ask you a question. If you don't have anything for him to steal, kill, or destroy, would he be there? And that answer would have to be no, because Jesus said he only comes to do this. So just because you don't know that you have it, his presence should tell you that you do, because he only comes to kill, steal, destroy. He cannot destroy what you do not have. He can hide it from you, and then because of your ignorance, my people are destroyed, God says, for one reason and one reason only, lack of knowledge. Okay, please, 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 please. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, not lack of supply. Because my God shall supply all my needs. So supply is not my issue. According to what God has said. And I would just let God be true and every man a liar. Okay? He says, my God supplies all my needs. He's El Shaddai to me, the God that's more than enough. He's Jehovah Jireh to me, that God who sees my need in advance and provides it. See? The name Jehovah Jireh came out of the situation where Hagar was upset and mad and didn't know what to do. And God showed up and told Hagar, I took care of you, son, because I'm the God that supplies. I saw what was needed in advance, and I'm here to cause it to work together for your good. See, Paul came to the place that he left religion and started to understand a relationship with God that says, you are the God that has more grace than I need. The last time I checked, just so I can see it, the book of Ephesians comes after the book of 2 Corinthians, and in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, God told Paul, because Paul kept asking God to give him deliverance, and God says, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. And he said that to him three times. And the third time, looks like Paul got it, and he understood that grace that was available for him was more than the challenge that was in front of him. Because in your weakness, Paul, my strength is made perfect. I know you don't understand, Paul. I know you don't see the victory, Paul. But in that place of weakness, my strength is perfected. Because my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Notice he didn't say that the supply was going to be according to what you could do. It was according to what Jesus has, his riches in glory. His riches would probably be enough to handle it, but it was his riches in glory. Hallelujah. It's the glory of God that makes a difference. I mean, we have been given advantage this way. And Paul began to process his life from that position of advantage that comes by the Spirit. Ooh, that's good, sir. That's good. When I have advantage that comes by the Spirit, the people in the flesh can't stop it. Amen. My enemies, my haters, they cannot stop a connection that has been made in the spirit. Amen. Because, you know why? God, that's good, sir. Because what it says in 1 John chapter 5, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever is born of the Spirit overcomes the world. Lord, I am giving you some good stuff today. I mean, this is the way the scripture is supposed to be received in your heart. It's supposed to be rightly divided. Because when you rightly divide, that's the man of God being truly furnished. Okay? You will begin to see that whatever I'm facing, the answer has already been given. He's given unto me everything that pertains to life and godliness. I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Not the sometimes working of his power. The effectual working of his power. Thank you, sir. And you know, you can determine how effectual it is working. Minute by minute. Amen. Because here is how you can do that. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's minute by minute, isn't it? That is an exchange every time, all the time. See? That's an exchange that's made every time, all the time. See? You get to experience that. Because every time you breathe, that's another exchange, isn't it? Let everything that hath breath praise. Let everything that hath breath give testimony. Give witness. Experience what God has done for you over and over and over again. You get to do this continually. The effectual working of his power. He's given you so much to allow the victory to be seen. He's just given you so many ways to allow his love to be proved in your life, because he takes you out of situations and circumstances and into victory. He's called you unto victory. He's called you unto peace. See? And the definition of peace is nothing missing or nothing broken. Everything that is settled and fixed. Peace. By the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. I mean, Paul is just trying to make sure that he doesn't leave anybody out. Because Jesus said that the person that is in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a bad boy. And he said, he that is the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. See, God is giving you a place of entrance and rest that guarantees victory in your life. And Paul is speaking to that same thing. He says, even I, who am the less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and my job is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. My job is to keep telling you over and over and over and over again about this mystery of this grace that you have been given. I'm going to write to you in Ephesians and tell you. I'm going to write to you in Philippians and tell you. I'm going to write to you in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and tell you. I'm going to write to you in 1st Corinthians and tell you. I'm just going to keep make you see what is this mystery. That's my job. It's not grievous for me to write these things over to you, write these things to you over and over again. I'm glad to do it. It's part of my joy that you can then be a partaker of my joy. That you didn't have to go out and find these things out. You can walk with me. You can follow me as I follow Christ. And we can just enjoy this over and over and over again. Okay? I want you to see how to do this. God wants you to be able to enjoy this. This is where we live. Yeah, because in him we live, and in him we move, and in him we have our being. See, this is what God wants for you. My brother, I will not have you to be ignorant. I want you to understand how to function in this. I need for you to flow in the victory that's in Christ Jesus. See? This is the place where God causes his joy to exchange with your grief, sorrow. Because he said he took that. See? He took your grief and your sorrows. My job is to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world was hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, say now, this is what he wants to do. This is where he wants you to be, to the intent that now, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. He wants to display this grace, this glory, to every demon, every principality, every power, and he wants to do it by you, the church, his body. And he's not interested in just one level. Come on, y'all. He's not just interested in one level of his wisdom being seen. He wants to see, wants to release the manifold wisdom of God. And then watch what he says here. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wait a minute. He said this was the eternal purpose. This was the purpose that started and will be the end of all things. This is the purpose. This is the eternal purpose that he's going to allow your life to tell demons Jesus is real, Lord, Savior. The angels try to look into this. They don't have the ability to look in this. They know God is, but since they took an option that they shouldn't have taken, and they decided to do something that was on their own will, God then gave us the opportunity to show that we can surrender our will and enjoy the manifold wisdom of God forever. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence. I don't like the way Paul writes. He says, you got through these things that he's writing to you to get you to see, you will have boldness and access with confidence. So you said amen, now what? See, this had to become a part of Paul's life. Again, Paul was religious, but he had to come to the place where religion, which didn't work anyway, had to be sacrificed. And then he had to replace it with confidence that what God said is what's going to happen. You remember Paul was the one that wrote this, that I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor principality, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature will be able to separate me from this love. I'm going to believe like Abraham. I'm going to become fully persuaded that what he promised he's able also to perform. That thing that I've committed unto him, he's faithful to complete that. Paul had to walk through these experiences of learning. And he had to begin to live there. If my words abide in you, and if you abide in me, then you'll have a different conversation. You'll ask what you will, and it'll be given you. Notice, if the word does not abide, then the process is not complete. If you abide in me, and if my words abide in you. People will say, well, you know, I love the Lord. That's good. Does his word abide in you? That's a different place. That's the process that Jesus left for us to walk out. And he wants us to walk it out in the midst of demonic attack, to the intent that now to principalities and powers might be made manifest through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. This is what we have the opportunity day by day to do. In every situation, that we will declare by our actions, Jesus is Lord. He got this. We have boldness and access with confidence by God. He's making it so easy, beloved. This confidence, this access, and this boldness is by the faith of him. Paul said it again in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. See, Paul, he didn't just write that, pen that. He lived that. That's why Paul can say, as the aged Paul, I've kept the faith. I've run my race. And now I get to deal with the henceforth is laid up for me. I get to deal with the eternity now. Because I've kept the faith. I was faced with things, beatings, till I was about dead. Shipwrecked. The boy was bitten by a poisonous snake, a very venomous snake. The people thought, sure, they saw the snake bite and said, oh, he's about to die. Even though he escaped the sea, he's about to die. And Paul just shook it off in the doggone fire. And they said, well, he must be a god. No, he's gone through stuff by the faith of him. Glory to God. By the faith of him gives us an understanding that death has already been taken care of. We have to agree with the plan of God because the last enemy that will be put under the feet of Jesus is death. Well, that's going to have to happen through his body. It's going to be the manifold wisdom of God being displayed by the church. Because if I don't understand that, then I will, just like all other people, be subject to the fear of death all our lives. And the devil then is able to take advantage of us because the fear of death is greater than the Lord that was resurrected from the dead. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Not by faith in him. Look at it. Make sure you underline it in your body, in your Bible. Circle it. This is a different place. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, because my purpose is to make sure you hear the truth that causes you to win every time, all the time, in every situation, under every circumstance. That's my job, to the intent that now, this is my desire. He says, because of this, I now bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Glory to God. I mean, I'm just reading. This is just the intro, if you would. Because you said amen, now what? You voiced that you want to believe God. You voiced that he's in the midst. Well, you have to then be willing to display that grace that you've entered into. He told us to stand fast in the grace. Stand fast in the liberty. Right? Stand fast in that. Don't be one that's moved about. He said he wants you to be rooted and grounded in love. That particular scripture was not talking about an expression of love. That scripture was talking about a receiving of the love of God. That's the same love that Paul was saying. No, he's fully persuaded that neither life nor death, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing will be able to separate him from that love. Because in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He's wanting you to be one that receives love that way. That the love of the Father is so settled in you that there is no possibility of you losing. Can't happen. This is why the Apostle Paul is writing to us to make all men see what is this mystery. See? He's wanting us, he's needing us to participate in that. Because that would be a church that does not have blemish, wrinkles, or any such thing. That's the church he's coming back for. He's not coming back for a questioning church. Amen. Boy, that's good, Lord. He's not coming back for I hope you can, God, church. He's coming back for a church triumphant. Glory to your name. Not a church inquisitive, a church triumphant. A church that has put all of the enemies of God under his feet. Coming back to that church. You've got to remember that we are the pillar and the ground of the truth. And he has no greater joy than to know that his children walk in not only do they function in, they establish more truth for other people to function in. Because we were blessed to be a blessing, right? So then the people that are in need of a healing, we have that power resident on the inside of us, and we go and do what Peter did. Peter was just walking down the street going to get some bread, and people were being healed because his shadow came in contact with him. He was not even trying to have a healing need. That's a triumphant church. A church that simply believes that God, who said, I can do all things, is now going to do those things through me. The God that said, I am more than a conqueror, is going to go out and cause conquering to happen. That in the life of those that have been confused and hurt, I will cause the conquering spirit to awake on the inside of them. Because the whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The true sons of God are those that are about the Father's business. The ones that just simply believe that greater works shall you do. We're not those that draw back. We are the ones that are supposed to march on from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Because when he comes back, he's asking one question: will there be faith in the earth? Okay, so here we got a COVID situation. Then that tells me, glory to God. I heard it the other day, and I'll say it again. If there's a COVID situation, that tells me that there is a COVID miracle wanting to break forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are the ones that's supposed to carry the COVID miracle, to put COVID under the feet of Jesus. Because we purpose to walk in love, to walk in victory, to walk in faith, to walk in hope. And the Bible tells me love and hope never fail. Glory to God. See? So it's time for us to break out and allow the glory to be revealed. Because the glory, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, is in us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. See? We're the ones that's supposed to walk in this, live in this. This cause, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. He's going to grant you according to the riches of his glory. Not the barely can work, not the barely can talk, not the barely can breathe. He's going to give you the riches of his glory, that you would be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, will be able to comprehend with all the saints. Glory to God. This is just going to be, we're going to give the devil such a hard time. Not one saint, not five saints, not the 12 apostles. No. With all saints. Because it is the desire of God. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, the same way the waters